Will you go? good evening to one and all. We appreciate everyone that's here, and my apologies to the local saints that have had to listen to me twice today. I hope you can bear with me. Anyways, before we read from the scriptures, we're going to ask God's blessing in prayer. Our Father, we bow, we turn to thee tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, and thank thee that we can mention his name. We thank thee, Father, that we have come to know him as the one who at Calvary laid down his life for our sin. The tremendous blessing, Lord, of having our sins forgiven, and through that death being prepared for eternity that lies before one and all. We pray that tonight, Father, as we would open thy word, that thou wilt by thy Spirit bless it. We pray for each one that is here tonight. That which they heard, we pray, if not saved, may be driven to the core of their soul to awaken them to their need of a Savior. We pray thy blessing, Lord, wherever thy Son is uplifted tonight as the only Savior of sinners. We would ask in the Lord's name. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. That's in the New Testament, and it's the very first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read just a simple verse found in verse 13, Matthew 7 and verse 13. This is what it says. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, that's all I plan on reading. I did open my remarks by saying that what I just read are words that are actually spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I'd like to present to you the gospel. The gospel is a message that's contained in the scriptures or in the things that God has said, and its source is the Bible. The Bible's source is actually from God himself. It's a message that's been given to mankind. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus, in those two verses in Matthew chapter 7, he uses the illustration, really, of a map. And in the words that he says, he, in map form, has laid out in Scripture the two eternal destinies that lie before one and all tonight. I just recently, I have a friend, Stephen Prince. His father lived in Sarnia, Ontario, and just recently died. And I just discovered that actually at his funeral, they posted it on YouTube, portions of his funeral. So I was curious, of course, because I know Stephen has spoken at that, and watched a bit of it. But one of the things that caught my attention at this particular funeral, it was at a gospel hall in Sarnia. And of course, at the funeral procession, the actual body of Martin Prince was at the front of the hall. And John Prince, one of his, the oldest actually, no, it wasn't the oldest in the family, the second oldest, I believe, was up speaking about his father. And of course, they actually played a recording of him giving his testimony of how he came to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And of course, John, when he was relaying this and listening to the clip of Martin Prince, this man that has now gone into eternity speaking, was speaking about how through John 3:16 he came to know the Lord Jesus. But anyways, up on the screen, John posted a poem. And I had never known that this poem was written by Robert Frost. It was one of the top 500 poems that are known in the world today. And it's called "The Road Less Traveled." And John, speaking on that afternoon with the body of his father in front of him, basically was using the application of this poem that I'm going to read to you. And it's about a traveler in time. And he comes in his journey and discovers that he's at a point in his life where he needs to make a decision. There's paths that are before him that he needs to take. And now he's reflecting, of course, back on that choice that he made a long time ago. And he's reflecting back and thinking of that choice that was made in that particular day and that afternoon, and how that choice had consequences that continue to follow him through his life. This is what Robert Frost says. I'm only going to read you two verses of his poem. The first one says, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth." And now he reflects as he sees these two roads that are before him, realizing that he's just a single traveler, that he can only take one road, he can't split himself in two, that he needs to decide which road he's going to take. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And John in that afternoon, with his father's body before him, could say that the road that his father chose in life had made all the difference. Not only for him and for where he was now in eternity, in heaven, but of course the impact that that had in his family by a man choosing a road that was less traveled. And this Robert Frost sings, somewhere ages hence and hence, two roads diverged in a wood and I took the one less traveled by. So my friend, tonight I would take you to Matthew chapter 7 and show you that the Lord Jesus speaks about two roads that are in life. And it's depicted on the chart that is behind me, and that's why I read the words of the Lord Jesus. I would like to think of how in those words that he said that there's two gates. He speaks of a gate that is wide and he speaks of a gate that is narrow. That there are two crowds. He speaks of the many that are traveling one particular road and how there is few that are traveling another. And then he speaks of two destinations. Of course, the destination of destruction and the destination of life. And that's what you see on the chart behind us. And that's where we read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction. The Lord Jesus speaks of two roads, the broad road and the narrow road. Now we can stop right here, because there's people in the world that would take the Bible, thoughts of God, eternity, heaven and hell, and throw it all to the wind. And maybe you've listened to men, like atheists, like Richard Dawkins, and this is what he says, think, there is no God. If there is no God, I have no message to preach tonight. If when people die, we die like dogs, and beyond death, there's nothing but blackness, then I have no message. But I believe the Bible to be something that has come divinely from God and has been left men and women like you and I. We've been given intelligence. We've been given thoughts. The actual imprint of God is upon us in that sense. The Bible says that he's put eternity in our heart, a recognition, a knowledge that there is something that I can't clearly see that does lie beyond death. That is out there that I really can't understand. And that's the wonderful thing about the gospel, is God hasn't left us to ourselves. He says that there are two roads. He actually traveled from heaven and he came to earth and he has delivered into your hands and my hands a map so that you can clearly see and make the choice of the road that you could potentially travel. So there's two roads. And I hope you don't think like Richard Dawkins that there is no God, because I would remind you from Scripture that there is. One of the things that the Bible says about this broad road that is traveling down is, of course, just in the fact that he says it's a road that's going down, just reminds us that it's very easy to travel. You just live one day at a time. You don't think about these things. You don't think about what lies beyond the grave. You don't think about your sin or the things that you've done. Or maybe that there is a day of reckoning or accounting coming when God is going to call you to task for the life that you've lived. You'll stand before him in his presence and he'll review your life. All the things that you did, both good and bad. God's very fair from that perspective. And it'll all be laid out. But tonight in time, here we are, almost at the end of November 2013. And you can look back over your life and see how easy it is just to drift through life. That's what the Bible says. It's a downward road that we can just drift downward and it's so easy to follow. And I would ask you tonight to take with the Bible that's on your lap and see that these words that come from the Lord Jesus are a word that has come from eternity that rings in time to warn men and women that the road that we've been born on is a road that not only is downward, but it's a dark road. And this is the reason that it's dark. It's a road that's easy to travel because it's downward. But it's a road that's easy to travel because it's dark in this sense. And I know that people mock it, and they make, especially at Halloween, they may make jokes of it and so on. But there is, I would remind all of our audience this evening, from young to old, that there is a satanic force There is the force of evil. There is something as the prince of darkness that is in opposition to every single soul that is living. I could turn with you in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And this is what the Bible says. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. That's what the God of this world does. There is somebody that is interested in you just continuing on the downward road. That easy road that the Lord Jesus speaks of. That leads to destruction. Just live and let live. Don't worry about this. Just leave a gospel meeting like it's been nothing. Just live life as this is, that this is all there is. Eat and drink and be merry, as the scripture may say. If you don't have to face God after death, then that is the way to live. But why not take the opportunity that's being presented to you in the meeting this evening and realize that there is something that is in front of me, and that is that life won't go on forever. Like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, that God is going to call us all to account for what we've done. So not only is the road downward, and it's a dark road, but it's also a journey that can be very deceiving. It's a journey that can be very deceiving. In this sense, I bet you if I went through the town of Sussex tonight, let's go to the mall, go to Sobeys, start talking to people that come out and just ask them, do you think you'll be in heaven when you die? I can almost assure you that every one of them coming out, oh, I think I will be. And if you ask them why they would have that assurance, we could probably write and fill an encyclopedia on all the reasons why people think they're going to be in heaven. Well, I would like to, with the Word of God, say, what is it that takes a person to be in heaven? Because if this is a road that the Bible says can be deceiving, and this is why I would tell you that, is because in Matthew chapter 7, and we could read in verse 23, just towards the end of this chapter, is that in that particular day, so to speak, there's people that are convinced that they'll be in heaven, and this is what the Bible says. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. That's God that's speaking. There's people that are in his presence and they're convinced they're going to be in heaven. And God says, I don't know who you are. I don't have a relationship with you. I don't ever remember you turning to my son for salvation. So it just shows you the foolishness of men's thinking, how this road can easily deceive us. It would be like if I was a road builder and I was building a road from this hall to my place. And I, as the builder, built the road. And then I drew a map that I was going to give to everybody in the meeting tonight. This is how you get from here to my place. And you took the map. And you said, oh, I don't need that. I'm going to draw my own map. I think I can get there on my own terms and on my own way. Wouldn't that be absolutely absurd to think that? So why is it that men and women can go through life and they can talk about heaven? And they can talk about hell, and maybe just in a joking manner. But somehow in their own mind, they think they know how they're going to get to heaven. When they haven't turned to the very roadmap that God has given us to see, how is it that we can be there? When the Lord Jesus himself gives in pictorial form something so simple, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I would like to give you the only good news that I can think of about this broad road. Is this wide enough to turn around on? It's wide enough to turn around on. And I could take you back to that night in my own personal experience. In fact, that brings me to my next point, that there's two gates. There's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. One of the things, of course, just when the Lord Jesus speaks about a gate, it would obviously just signify a point of entry. There has a time come when you enter through the gate. Let me take you back 34 years of my own life. I could take you to the spot where the gate was for me on a Sunday afternoon, July the 29th, 1979. I realized for the first time in my life when I got out God's roadmap, so to speak, that I am not traveling the narrow road to heaven. Somehow in my thinking, I felt like if you don't deal with these subjects, then you're not really traveling one road or the other. In fact, the Bible's very clear, and some people think that maybe they're just sitting about here, that they're not really on one road or the other. Well, I would like to tell you, first of all, that on that particular afternoon, that's when I went through this gate. But I can tell you when I went through this gate, I can tell you when I started on the broad road. I know that. Not because I remember it, but my parents told me that I was born January the 6th, 1971. And the moment I was born in sin, I began to travel away from God because of my sin. Because God doesn't allow sin in heaven. That's why he depicts it as a road. That's why he depicts it as a gate. He's controlling the entrance into heaven. That's what you'll find. We can go back to the tabernacle. We can go to the temple. We can go to the New Jerusalem. We can go through all through the scriptures and see that God always has a barrier set up. Because he's going to keep that which is unholy or sinful on the outside. But he's going to let that which is holy in. So it's a gate. There's a narrow gate and there is a broad gate. And on that particular afternoon, I could take you to. I sat down in a little aluminum trailer, a travel trailer, with my Bible and my Sunday school verses and so on, determined that somehow I would have the ability to open the door and get in. Well, do you know what I discovered that afternoon? Is that the gate is actually a person. That the gate is a person. Let me repeat that. This gate that you see here with the words John 10 and 9 actually represents a person. If you were to turn in your Bible to read John chapter 10 and verse 9, this is what it says. It's the Lord Jesus speaking again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So what that tells me, if the Lord Jesus says that I am the door, that he is the one that grants access onto the narrow way. So think to the moment of your birth. Go back to that day in your mind. That's what I can tell you from the scriptures. Is that when we started on the broad road that leads away from God because of our sin, because of what we do, because of what we are. It's the condition that we're born in. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, has created a gate that leads to a narrow way that ultimately leads to life. And the sad reality is in this world, the few there be that find it. So, if I gave you a piece of chalk or a pen, and I invited you up on the platform, and I said, put your mark on which road you're on. Where would you put it? I know there's a lot that could come up in the meeting tonight, myself included, and I'd mark myself right here. And I appreciate you coming. But my concern is for people that would have to put their mark on this road that's going down. You know, sometimes the thoughts of eternity, because we get so caught up in time. And you know that, raising kids, it seems like yesterday you're in school. I was just saying the other day, it seems like you go to bed one night and you wake up the next morning and all your kids are growing up and all of a sudden 25 years, 20 years of your life has shot by. And I'm sure for those that are older, you could say you don't even know what you're talking about because you're only in your 40s. You wait until you're in your 60s and it'll seem like it even flew by quicker. And that's probably true. We get so caught up in time and it's just slipping through our fingers. And you know that. We're all preparing. If you're the same age as me, you're likely preparing. You know there's a day coming when if the Lord be not come, your parents are going to die, and you're sort of bracing yourself for that. But we're all facing something that is a lot bigger than we are, and it's eternity. And there is no time in eternity. It just goes on and on and on, never ending. And the wonderful truth is you could spend eternity in heaven. And the horrible truth is you could spend it in hell. That's why he says there's two gates. There's the wide gate and there's a straight gate. I'm glad you came to this meeting. Because this meeting is like what took place in Kentucky. Campbell County was willing to spend over $38,000 on a particular intersection just for the reason that it was very dangerous. On cameras, they had tractor trailers that were actually running red lights. So they spent $38,000 bringing in LED lights to light up that intersection. And then they were willing as well to pay the $163 a month that it was going to be for the power bill to run those lights at a dangerous intersection. And coming to a meeting like this is like spiritually taking a light and shining it right here on this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I would like to remind us all that in this world of darkness and evil and wickedness, that there is a Savior that's longing to save people from the tragedy of dying in their sins and missing the narrow gate and ending up in destruction. This is what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you know that the Lord Jesus, once he grants eternal life to a person, you're secure for eternity? Oh, you can go home. I could buy you a bed and leave it in your house, but I can't give you rest. But the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 10 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does your sin bother you? Does the fact that if you die as you are in the meeting tonight, that you'll be in hell bother you? I'd like to point you to the gate. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we speak about how he created this opening. Why is it that he created this opening? How did he do it? That's why he came from heaven to earth. That's why Calvary and the death of God's Son on the cross is what's at the core of my heart. Because that is where he formed the gate for a world of sinners for them to enter in and live. So not only is the gate narrow and is there a wide gate, not only is there a broad way and there's a narrow way, but there's two crowds. There are the many and there are the few. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. One of the things that typically is true in life, not always, but that's typically true in life, is the crowd. If you're following the crowd, usually it's not in a good direction. And so in a meeting like this, I hope you take a look at the chart behind us and realize that the reason that the majority of people are on the broad road is because it's an easy road to travel, because you can do whatever you like on it. You can sin all you like. No need for change. Live as you like. Die as you like, but God's word clearly warns us where that road actually leads to, because the road leads to a destination. That's why typically people in the world today aren't interested in this. That's why when you talk to people about their need of salvation, or talk to them about God, or even speak to them about the fact that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that a person needs to be born again to be in heaven, they're really not interested. Because it's a lot easier to just live like you're living and to die like you're living. But I would like to remind you that that is true for the majority. I would like to invite you to be part of the few that have discovered that this isn't worth living like this, because it's just for a few short years that we're here and then we're in eternity. And wake up to the fact that I'm following the many that are on this crowded, broad, slippery road that's leading to destruction, and realize that tonight is a great night to make a turn for the door. Make a turn for the Lord Jesus Christ. And find forgiveness of sins that he offers to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why I speak to you about the cross. That is why we have hanging on the hall here that verse, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why would God write something like that in his word? Because he gave his Son from heaven to earth to die for your sins. Not only your sins, but the sins of the whole world. That was the purpose in the death of Christ. That's what he came for. That's why he went under the wrath of God. It was because of what we've done. It's because of the sin of all of humanity, so to speak, was gathered up and placed on his Son when he was on the cross. And I have put my faith in that door. I put my faith in that work, and I realized this is how God can grant me into heaven. This is how he created a door. He did it in the person of his Son. But I was following the crowd for too long until I made a turn. How long have you been following them? How long have you been on the Broadway? Do you have a moment in your experience when you woke up to that fact that I don't want to live life like this? Because if I die like this, I won't be in heaven. I'll live and die in destruction. How long have you been? Which road are you traveling on, and how long have you been traveling on that road? The many. Last of all, I would like to think of the two destinations that this road leads to. It leads to heaven, and of course, it says destruction in our verse, which simply means hell. Now, it isn't, I'm not here, and God knows my heart. I'm not here trying to create fear tactics or anything like that when we speak about the message tonight. But I would like to tell you, first of all, by starting off to speak to you a little bit about heaven. The Lord Jesus, after he died on the cross, he gathered his disciples together and he told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also." And he told them, "But in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." I was just thinking about this afternoon. We got some people that are carpenters here in the hall. And one of the very first things that you have to do, of course, before you build a house, is you got to put a foundation in. And I was just interested, just in my simple thinking, I was thinking, you know, the Lord Jesus never said that he was going to prepare a place until the foundation that was lit, until the foundation was laid. And do you know what he was going to do? He was going to lay the foundation at Calvary. Any Christian that you talk to, if you ask them, what is your hope of being in heaven? How is it that you can speak so assuredly that when you die, you will be in heaven? It's because of what they're resting on. It's the foundation that they have underneath them. It's not good works. I'm not here to get you to try to join our church. I'm not here to tell you that if you perform good works that you'll be in heaven, because the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says that in order for a person to be in heaven, they need to be born again. John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So a person needs to be born again. But in order for a person to be in heaven, it has to rest on something. And what it rests on is the work that the Lord Jesus did. That's how it's possible for souls to be in heaven. That's where this narrow road leads to. And you may look at this and say, I wouldn't want the life that you live because I couldn't live it. Well, you wouldn't want the life that I have unless you had the moment that I have, and that is when you enter through the door. Because what happened to me the moment I entered through the door is God forgave me of all my sin. And when I realized the debt, the weight, the suffering that my sin caused God's Son at Calvary, my perspective changed in life. I don't want to live the life that people live on that broad road, because it's a reflection of where it's taking them. But I want to live a life that reflects what God wants. And I see the awful price that he had to pay in order for him to forgive me of my sin. And when he forgave me of my sin, that moment in 1979, he erased all my past sin. He erased the present sin that I had committed that Sunday afternoon. And he reached forward and erased the whole record that I'm leaving behind me until the moment he calls me home. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word that all of my sin has been forgiven. And I'll be found in a destination that's labeled as life. I close with this, because the other destination is destruction. That's why the first words that you read when Luke gives the account of this, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. So if you think, I don't want to leave you fooled, if you think that getting saved or discovering the narrow road or entering in is just something that you can go home and on your sofa some night while you're watching television, come into the good of, it'll never happen. Because there's every obstacle in your way tonight of finding this. But I do know this, God's word says, those that seek me shall find me when they search for me with all their heart. I trust that you'll do that even tonight.